The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, this is Annie.
And Samantha.
And welcome to Stefan Never Told You, a production of iHeartRadio. And today we are continuing our just real slew of technology episodes.
I guess we're having a technology mini-series. I think that's what we just should call it.
We really are. And we have a lot more planned, which I've had a good time researching. I mean, there's a lot of not great things we're talking about, but I don't know. A lot of this is sort of new to me, and I'm fascinated with the technology behind it. And today we're talking about Twitch, which I have very little experience with. What about you, Samantha?
I have zero. I have zero, zero, zero. Like, at least with the Reddit episode, I knew of Reddit, and it's like, I've read posts from it, so I can click things. People will show me things from it. What I know of Twitch, can I give you my understanding of Twitch and then
Please.
See how badly I mucked this up?
Mm-hmm.
It essentially is a live streaming service for gamers who get to have a community, and in that community can build a large following that can make money. And if you're big enough, you may be a star and you have these things. Apparently, they were, I think, featured on the Ryan Reynolds movie Free City, a few of the larger Twitch streamers.
Oh.
If you look at some of the, I know they're cameoed. So mm-hmm. I'm assuming they're from Twitch. I understand it's any game, but typically more from streaming, like PCs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I'll give you a solid C on that one.
And I was barely passing.
I'll give you a C+. How about that?
Okay, thank you.
And maybe it's higher. We'll see. we'll go through together, and you can fight me at the end if you want.
I won't. I'm taking my C and running.
Okay. That's also a legitimate reaction. I think you've mostly got it, though. I think you've got the very basic understanding of what it is. And
from
that's
what
where
I understand,
I was, too.
Oh, by the way, apparently my nephew is somewhat, has a large-ish following. Like, not huge, but has a big enough following that I'm like, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I thought about doing it, and you've heard my I keep wanting to say scheme. It's not a scheme, but I was going to play The Last of Us and just do that and maybe make some money off of it, because I'm just so good at it now. Why
you
am
are
I not
so good
just
at it. Like, and people I love request it over you to do it. Like, that's the funny part.
I think I've had like 5 requests. Yeah. And I know that's like not a lot, but it is for one specific game.
I think that's like constantly, that's what, a 13-hour endeavor, if not more?
And but that's the other thing is I can customize it. I always ask, like, do you want, like, just the storyline, or do you want me to take time and read the notes? Like, how much do you want? So I could really
do it now.
I could offer, like, a lot of experiences. I don't know that that's exactly how Twitch works either, to be honest. But
yeah,
that what you said was my basic understanding of it as well. Hilariously enough, I have another fan fiction connection with this one. Because as I said in the Reddit one, it is a popular trope to feature technology from our modern day in these fan fictions. Yeah, yeah. And there is one about Twitch that I very, very much enjoy. It's super
interesting.
Cute. Interesting. They're like 2 very popular Twitch streamers and then they fall in love. It's cute.
What? Okay.
Yeah. I did want to put the date on this one just because we are talking about an ongoing story and I had to check the date. It is November 3rd, 2022. Just because, some of these things we're going to talk about might have changed by the time this comes out. And also, this has kind of become a two-parter because as much as Samantha and I don't know about Twitch, we do have a listener and friend of the show, Jamie Summers, who does know a lot about Twitch.
Yeah.
And it is streaming a lot. And we reached out to Jamie, asked if she'd be willing to talk to us about it. And she was awesome. She did. And that became a much larger conversation. So it's
going to
be its own episode. Oh, yeah, of course. We had a great time. But yeah, look out for that. Look out. I'm always hesitant. Is it look out or listen out? It's both. It's coming. an interview with Jamie Summers about what it's like to be on Twitch. That will be coming up next. So yeah, I'm excited about it.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
That's my contribution.
Yes, and I hope, Jamie, we don't let you down because it's always interesting when you're talking about a topic where mostly you're depending on the research that you find.
Right.
To talk about it. So hopefully we have done it well, but you can let us know if we didn't. All right, so we're not going to get too in-depth here about the kind of history of Twitch, but we're going to start with some basics. So Twitch is a live video streaming service based out of the US, created by Justin Kahn. It was launched in June 2011, and that was not his first venture in the technology realm. He had previously founded a company, him and a few others, that offered an online calendar similar to what Google Calendar is now. But it wasn't profitable, so Kahn and the other founders sold it on eBay for about $260,000. They used that money to make Justin TV in 2005 with the goal of streaming whatever was going on in their lives, like Big Brother style, essentially just broadcasting your life. And since this was in 2005, people were primed to eat it up because this is when webcams were becoming more affordable and they were all the rage and the cost of the internet was coming down and it was becoming more accessible in most places. Not all places, but most places.
Beginning of many horror movies too.
Yes.
I can't believe you didn't add that, Annie.
True.
So at first, the service garnered a mixed response, which even just hearing it that way makes you go, huh.
Yeah.
Is this a good idea? Also, naming it after yourself, that's interesting. A lot of people were annoyed by the reality TV aspect of it. Silly them. But they were curious if it could be used for different applications, and the platform wasn't without issues then either, and some users were the target of the precursors of swatting, which I think we've talked about before, when the police raided apartments after pranks implied a shooting or a stabbing had taken place there, and eventually, people got murdered. Kahn himself was the victim of one in 2007.
Yeah, and still goes on today. We're going to talk about that. Another issue, while things were easier than they had been on the technology side, live streaming still required a technical know-how not everyone had in this these earlier days. And equipment like microphones, webcams, and specific software, like getting all those things to work. Because of this, one of the first people hired for Justin TV was a specialist in video game streaming. And from what I gathered, he kind of just helped people set up their video game streams. It was his whole thing.
So wait, he was part of the Geek Squad before the Geek Squad came around for Best Buy?
kind of sounds
okay.
And that is what solidified Twitch's future as a video game streaming platform specifically, perhaps, because they have this person going around who was a video game streaming specialist helping people set up video game streams. But even though that is a lot of what it does and a lot of what people perceive it as, that is not the only thing that it does at all. There have been streams of things like San Diego Comic-Con, an event around Bob Ross. I saw that come up a lot.
Yeah, that was huge.
Yes. All kinds of things. On top of that, there are video games and certain content that are banned from streaming, which is the source of a lot of arguing and contention.
Mm. This is also why I get confused by these platforms, because I'm like, wait, is this one thing, but it's not this one thing?
Well, that's a lot of the issue that Twitch has had, and we're going to get into that specifically. But yeah, the platform quickly rose in popularity, in part because it was fairly easy to use, and it had a lot of tools that were available for free. People in general were becoming more comfortable around using the internet and technology. Twitch was acquired by Amazon for $970 million in August of 2014. Yep. These days, 55 million or more tune in to watch video game streams on Twitch, and it is up there with Netflix, Google, and Apple for internet traffic. Again, that number is from 2013-2014, although I would bet it's gone up during the pandemic. As of 2015, Twitch was getting over 100 million views per month, and over a fifth of Twitch users spend around 20 hours a week watching video content on Twitch. Newer numbers from 2020 indicate that the platform hosted 3 million broadcasters and 15 million daily users. So yeah, it did see a surge during the pandemic. For some creators, it's a moneymaker too, with some making upwards of $100,000 or more a year. I've seen it like way higher than that.
Right. And then they have these whole things where people can contribute, like they give options during the live streams to give money. That's a interesting take on it.
Yes. So based on my fan fiction, which I'm going to assume is somewhat correct.
Well, the new statement starting this way. Okay.
Yes. Go. It's that sometimes you can pay, like, depending on how big the streamer is, a certain amount of money, and they'll read your comment on air.
Yes. That's true. So I have seen that. Like, if you do certain contributions, they'll do certain things. I know Jamie's going to talk about it up in our interview, but I know people do like specific fundraisers where they'll do a character, they'll do a request that you want from, this is perfect for your Last of Us.
Oh my gosh, setup. I could make it a fundraiser.
Yeah, just saying. This is perfect. What are you raising funds for?
I have to think about it.
Yeah, okay.
And we are going to talk about that in just a second. So this is also around the time that Justin TV was rebranded as Twitch Interactive. A crowdsourced attempt to play Pokemon Red went viral on the platform, and it was hailed as an example of the transformative works of players around video games and how video games could be not only entertainment, but also possibly a sport, but also possibly, like, when I say entertainment, they are entertainment, but entertainment for people watching them and commenting on them and interacting around them. Like, this whole community is getting entertainment around this playing of a game.
Yeah. So, of course, Twitch has not been without its problems, especially around streamers from marginalized communities. I know we've spoken about this previously. As part of that, Twitch introduced the Safety Advisory Council in May of 2020, which is concerning that it took that long, but that's a whole different conversation. A group of streamers, researchers, and people from think tanks with the goal of coming up with guidelines to protect marginalized folks from abuse on the platform. And in 2021, they announced 350 new tags, many of them around things like gender identity, sexual orientation, and disability. To create these tags, they consulted with organizations and groups like Trevor Project, GLAAD, Able Gamers, and Special Effect.
Yes, and Jamie is going to talk about that in our interview, these tags.
Yeah. Let's talk about Twitch and women specifically, because Twitch is a space largely dominated by men, no surprise. According to Kotaku, quote, but the highest ranking female streamers are far further down the list, starting with a Valorant streamer Pokimane at 39th place, cosplayer Amaranth at 48th, and music streamer Centika at 71st. Excluding streams that are run by multiple people, such as Critical Role, There are no women in the top third of top earning Twitch content creators, in spite of the complaints about the quote hot tub meta titty streamers, and how some male streamers perceive that female streamers are stealing views from men. The number shows that only a small percentage of women are among the ranks of Twitch's highest earning content creators. Yeah, I know we're going to talk a little bit about that. When it comes to users, Statista found in 2020 that, quote, distribution of Twitch users in the United States as of second quarter 2021 was 75% male and 25% female. And here's another quote. According to the figures, Twitch's top earning streamers are overwhelmingly male. The top spot is occupied by Tabletop Role-Playing Collective with around $9.6 million in income. I'm guessing that's the Critical Role.
Probably.
I would think so. I know it's popular. I've seen them. The fact that I've seen them, that's huge. Followed by a male Overwatch streamer at around 8.4 million. God, million, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
These supposed figures do not account for sponsorships and other methods through which streamers typically earn revenue. And
wow.
I know on the flip side, they put it on other social media, like you're saying, because I know Critical Role as a D&D thing is on TikTok, and they have a lot of high views on that. So they're monetizing off of that as well.
Yeah, yeah. So like I said, when we read that other number, that was still high, 100,000.
Yeah.
I mean, when we're looking at this, that's a huge difference.
Millions, y'all.
Millions.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I And yeah, just before we get into this next section, kind of similar to the Reddit thing, we're not going to talk too in-depth about anything, but we are talking about some grossness on the internet, some harassment, some abuse. So just to put that out there, because there is a lot of that going on here. So I did want to go back to those terms, hot tub meta and titty streamers, because I didn't know what they meant, yeah. Although I had a good guess for one of them.
Yeah.
Okay, so the war of women's attire on Twitch has been around since the start. It's something that we see pretty much everywhere where there are women. many comments on women's streams, especially from men, focus on looks and f-ability. The first Google result I got when I typed in women on Twitch was hot women on Twitch. It kind of corrected. And I was like, wow. Okay. Women who emphasize their sexuality and body, and even those that don't, are often labeled titty streamers or booby streamers. And there's sort of this like almost conspiracy theory that they have a so-called business model of dressing up, wearing makeup, and maybe a push-up bra for people to compliment on or insult, like that's their whole purpose. The vibe is generally that they are asking for this type of harassment, and if they don't like it, they can leave. Here's an example tweet. If she doesn't like the fact that someone is talking about her, she can just quit. By the way, she f***ing deserves all of it. Here's another one. This girl really thinks people come in not to look at her looks. I mean, you're not useful for anything else. A streamer once ranted about, quote, sluts that are coming into our community, taking the money, taking the subs. Twitch suspended him. The most upvoted thread on the subreddit livestream fail is women walks around in costume, sells her nudes on YouTube, and claims that she is an objectified female. Because of this kind of attitude, many women have reported feeling pressured to dress a certain way, sexualized or completely desexualized. So either they feel like they have to either play it up or just wear hoodies all the time.
I've heard many women talking about the fact that just online gaming in itself, but also streaming, like they will like disguise their voice or won't talk,
yes,
and then do a reveal. And when they reveal happens, they immediately, the first comment, and Jamie says it later on, is, go back to the kitchen and make me a sandwich.
Like, I know.
Is that a online game immediate like insult thing? Like, is it has to be that before you can do other creative insults? Not that you need to be creative, but you know what I mean.
Right. Yeah. Jeez.
It's such a weird, like that line seems to follow all these immature gamers as the first thing that they say. And then like talking about trying to pull them out. And a lot of the times, the ones that I've seen, again, they come on TikTok, y'all. I do not. this is my realm, apparently. Is oftentimes like these ladies are better than them,
yeah,
non-binary folks, and then they get so mad.
Yes.
And then they have to be like pushed away. I did see one that was super cute where the two discovered, I think there was like four of them, two of them discovered they were both women. And they were like, oh my God! And they were the best on the team. And the way they were like loving each other, I did love that moment.
There's kind of a famous instance of that. We talked about it in our Women in Internet Gaming episode where it was eight women in...
Yeah.
It's not World of Warcraft, but it's a popular online game. And they were all using gender-neutral names and avatars. And they all found out they were women at the end. And they were like the best of the best. I love it. But yes. I mean, I did see a recent thing about that where the numbers is still... I think it's like 69% of women still use a gender-neutral name and avatar because they don't feel safe and they've received so much harassment and the harassment numbers are so high. But on the flip side, there's also, I read a lot of articles about trans people and feeling like they can be their selves in a way they don't feel like they can offline using that. Yeah, so there's a lot to break down there, but yeah. And a part of this whole thing is that stereotype that we've talked about before that women, and these women in particular on Twitch, aren't, quote, real gamers. And this whole thing got worse when Twitch added the IRL category in 2016 for non-gaming activities. And a lot of these dudes saying these things thought, great, you know, now these fake gamer women can leave and get male attention elsewhere because that's all that they want. But that is not really what happened, of course. And on top of that, when women started making money in the IRL category, there was a sudden outcry about these terrible women making money off the kids. The kids! To that end, in 2017, Twitch sold some women streamers that they couldn't advertise their Patreon accounts on their channels. It wasn't very transparent at all about why.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense to me. How do you not?
Yeah, yeah. Well,
allow for that. How do you gatekeep that? I mean, again, I know as we're talking about hot tub women, as they are titled, I was introduced to this during a couple of years ago because I was very confused about what Twitch was. Y'all, I didn't know what this was until a couple of years ago. I didn't know it existed. I assumed it was something like Reddit. This is where I am in life.
Gotcha.
But understanding what it was, and I was very confused. I was like, gaming, okay. And then having women who would sit in kiddie pools, this is what I saw, while gaming. I was like, I don't get what's happening. And essentially people commenting, and she didn't seem to acknowledge, and I think it was, again, Amaranth, who has been in the spotlight in the last couple of weeks with some controversy, but I did not understand what was happening. But what I was told was that she was making a lot of money, but still it doesn't sound like making too much money in comparison to, again, what she was in mid range in the statistics of who was making the most money. But still, I was very confused. I was like, but why? Because I don't understand all of this. I will watch you play games sometimes because I just want to hang out with you. I will watch my partner play games sometimes because I just want to hang out with them. But I don't necessarily want to do that as an entertainment off my screen, I guess. I say this as I play phone games. but yeah, there was a lot of like controversy, conversations, like continue to be mad. And though I don't get it, I don't understand it. I'm also confused as to why people are mad instead of just going to a different channel.
Oh, yeah. Well, more on that in a second. But like, as I said in the Reddit episode, a lot of this is kind of, we're jumping around a bit, but Amaranth was one of the ones who was penalized by Twitch. She's been penalized by Twitch several times without like clear reason. And that's happened to a lot of women. Okay, but yeah, since you brought it up, and I didn't know what it was, let's talk about hot tub meta. Okay, so women streaming in bikinis or bathing suits, it wasn't necessarily new, but it really blew up in 2020, which is kind of an accidental pun, when people started buying easier and more accessible blow-up hot tubs.
Right.
And you can actually find a lot of breakdown in the history of this if you would like to learn more. In 2021, several streamers on Twitch started broadcasting in their bathing suits from hot tubs, and these streams drew so much ire, claims that they were using a loophole in Twitch's policies, and again, oh, I don't have the children! In response, Twitter banned or demonetized some of the channels doing this, claiming that they were not advertiser-friendly. And this wasn't the most popular move, so Twitch released a whole article about it to clarify that they weren't discriminating against women, but they were cracking down on, quote, sexually suggestive content. But it also came with this line: being found to be sexy by others is not against our rules, and Twitch will not take enforcement action against women or anyone on our service for their perceived attractiveness. So, like, not, it's not fitting together. What they're saying is not matching. And somebody made the great point of, like, you can be sexy but not sexual. Like, there's a breakdown. Anyway, they later penalized yoga videos Twitch did under the same umbrella. And a lot argue that they, as I said, are not transparent or consistent with enforcement of their guidelines. And eventually, Twitch went on to add a category for hot tub streams, so advertisers could opt out of that if they wanted. This same year, after raids against streamers of color and queer streamers started happening a lot, the hashtag #TwitchDoBetter started trending. Others have expressed annoyance at the idea that women, quote, have it easy on Twitch because of sex appeal and or this sort of Madonna whore dichotomy that women would either get lewd comments or backhanded compliments about, you're a lady, but I actually like your work outside of your appearance.
Yeah.
It's not just your looks I'm here for. Many articles I found written by women in the space have spoken about how they feel they're pitted against other women streamers and how they often face questions about their gaming credentials. There's also a lot of complicated feelings women have expressed about how hot tub meta has essentially exacerbated sexualization for other women streamers and altered expectations. Others point out the fact that all of these cries about the children and advertisers unwilling to advertise hot tub meta, which is often just people talking in hot tubs, like with friends maybe, shows just how much we sexualize women's bodies, that's immediately like, oh God, it's pornography, which is how they're essentially treating it.
And which is funny because the amount of violence in these video games that I've seen, I'm like, but we're not talking about that for children. Children. Mm-hmm. Like, what?
Yeah, they had no problem until women started making money in these spaces. And they're like, wait.
And again, still not at the top tier. Definitely didn't even crack the top 20. What?
One interesting difference a lot of people pointed out is that women creators often have a more personal connection with their fans or the people watching, and that sometimes those fans, who sometimes are largely women, get so discouraged by the toxic comments that they see of this person that they like that they leave the platform altogether.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So many women and marginalized creators are, quote, chosen, and we're putting that in quotes, by incel groups to harass on Twitch. And we know how that can go. Reddit groups mostly composed of men claim to have naked photos of women streamers and will slow down clips and brag about how often they masturbate to them, while often discussing in disturbing detail what they do to the women in question, their body, and digitally inserting them into porn. Many women streamers know what it is to have obsessive male viewers who will do these kinds of things. And this is after many women have put so much work in just trying to make money, doing what they like, streaming games, just like anybody else. Mm-hmm. And people, mostly women, have reported vile harassment and even physical threats and have sounded the alarm around the fact that Twitch hasn't really faced the Me Too movement like other industries have. Many have reported toxic situations only to have their concerns ignored, which has been a big conversation for a minute. In 2020, the New York Times cited a spreadsheet with over 200 names called Survivor Stories of Harassment, Abuse, Assault Within the Gaming live streaming industry.
Oof. Yeah. And the threats are truly horrific. Like things like, I have your dad tied up and I'll slit his throat if you don't show your boobs. One woman streamer found a whole network of men sexualizing her and shared her feelings of being sexualized against her will, where her male counterparts wouldn't be based on the content that they were producing, like producing pretty much the same thing. I'm getting this type of content. You're getting this type of comment.
Right. And in 2020, a man out of San Francisco filed a $25 million lawsuit against Twitch because hot female gamers on Twitch led him to so much masturbation, he hurt his penis. Has there ever been a suit against porn industry for that? Because that's ridiculous. The pictures featured in the suit, which were dismissed, by the way, were actually innocuous, like being in a wedding gown or a bathing suit or bending over. The lawsuit further claimed women, quote, are only streaming with the sole purpose of taking advantage of sexually addicted viewers who are enticed to spend money on these women for attention and sexual innuendo. I love how this is all blamed on that and not the actual adults, like who should be held responsible for themselves. But hey.
Yeah.
That's too much to ask for, I know.
And by the way, that hot female gamers, that's an actual quote. That's that's not us saying that. That's what they
said. No.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On-demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, yes, now we need to touch on the recent and ongoing allegations from streamer Caitlin Amaranth Siragusa, one of the most popular and controversial streamers, and someone often bemoaned as the exemplification of all of these things wrong with Twitch, according to these mostly men. But not all men, because some women very frustrated with her too. Amaranth is a Twitch IRL streamer who did streams where she did squats, she dressed up in cosplay, some of it was revealing, she would dance, things like that. She did get into hot tub meta. There was and is a lot of conversation about her content, some in good faith and some in not good faith at all, about the problematic aspects of her. And she's certainly done some things that are not a good look. And we can't break all of that down today, but briefly, there are a lot of quotes from her that read very differently now about how she knew she was going to be sexualized, so she leaned into it. She was once banned for allegedly touching her breast on screen, and that was not the only time she was banned at all, and reportedly was so often swatted she was on the first name basis with local police. The reason I said that these things read differently now is that in a recent stream, she alleged that her husband was abusing her, threatening to kill her dogs, that he controlled her finances and was forcing her to continue streaming. She also said he coerced her not to tell people she was married in order to make more money when streaming in the hot tub category. So men would think like, oh, I have a chance to be with her, essentially. Due to that, she has also faced her fair share of online harassment, including when YouTubers like PewDiePie called her Twitch Thoughts, which is an insult used against both Twitch users and sex workers. And yeah, this whole thing is ongoing.
Yeah. There's a whole thing because men came out as angry when she revealed that she was being abused. And from what we gather, from what I've gathered, alleging that her husband was forcing her to do these streams just for the money. Partially, at the beginning, maybe with her consent, and then towards the end, maybe not so much, leaking audio clips from conversations and such. And then men, instead of being like, we're so sorry, or not even talking, are now mad at her and harassing her for lying to them about being married. And I'm like, I didn't think that was any of your business to begin with. Like, why does that matter in general? Yeah. But they feel genuinely wronged and have been coming after her. That's what I've seen as of late. Of course, there's all of these concerns that people are coming to her defense because domestic violence is a huge conversation that needs to be had in general. But then that's the reaction.
Yeah.
at the forefront is shocking. It was shocking to me, as well as the fact that I know the name PewDiePie, and I know that he is problematic times 30, from what I understand.
Yeah. Well, and I read a lot of articles for this, and it was pretty painful and strange to read the stuff written about her before this came out.
Right.
But even before that, people were so suspicious that she had a husband. They were all like, oh, I think she's lying about that. And I think a lot of the things that people hated about her when she came out was like, yeah, I haven't wanted to do some of this stuff, and I do have a husband. And then they were, instead of being like, oh, yeah, I'm so sorry, they're like, oh, well, you lied about these things that they already didn't like.
Yeah.
Because of all of these things we've been talking about, Twitch has updated their guidelines a few times. Some of them we've already talked about. Like in 2018, they declared that any content deemed as hateful would be suspended from their platform. If you'll notice, as we do a bunch of these technology episodes, a lot of them happen in the same year. And they're usually after, like, this was based on Donald Trump, stuff with Trump, which I find interesting. But the same guidelines that they introduced that year also muddied the water around sexual content that could be removed, because again, a lot of things they put out aren't very clear. They're not very transparent. In 2020, several women who were streamers spoke out about harassment and abuse they'd experienced on the platform. Notably, thanks in part to the pandemic, viewership more than doubled that year. Twitch assured that they'd cooperate with the law, but many felt like they weren't doing enough. And June 24th, 2020, many users and streamers participated in a Twitch blackout day. Later that day, Twitch put several bans in place of those that had been accused and promised to send details to law enforcement. A few days later, they put a temporary suspension on a Donald Trump campaign account, citing a violation of their rules around hateful content. A new policy around such content went into effect, specifically aiming to protect marginalized users that year. It also included things like a sliding scale of punishment. So a full-out ban was only one of the tools in their arsenal. It included a ban on racist emotes that weren't specified at the time and the Confederate flag. Words like incel and virgin were labeled as harassment under the right conditions. Some words like simp caused debate, and things like blind playthrough were later removed due to ableist connotations.
So, however, a 2021 study found that Twitch was enabling far-right extremists both financially and in terms of spreading their hateful rhetoric. Many have also raised concerns about double standards when it comes to gender. And here's a quote from Game Rant. User Shara Haiku, a popular Twitch streamer with over 20,000 followers, tweeted out the ability to title a stream, "I Hate Men," while the alternative, "I Hate Women," was struck down by Twitch's modern policy. In her latest stream, she highlighted that her intention with the tweet was to point out the humor behind the double standard. While Twitch streamers have been struck down for their sexist rants, Shara Haiku was only taking a moment to laugh about the idea that streamers could voice their hatred towards one gender, but not the other. That caused a lot of conversation, especially about missed conversations we could have been having, and it led to Twitch updating their guidelines once again. I wonder, though, if the "I hate men" conversation would have been so much like, we don't need men versus rape women. Like, I don't see men as, but I mean, I get it, but the level of vitriol feels like a little different.
Yeah, it's also just an inherent gender power imbalance that we're talking about there. Yeah, so a lot of that was a quote from Game Rant about it. And I think that was sort of the point, was we didn't have the conversation we should have had after this. It was more like men being mad that Twitch didn't take that down. There was a bigger and more nuanced conversation we could have been having.
I feel like so many things with the technology and social media is that we are not having the actual root of the problem conversation and just putting small band-aids, because if we did that and we actually faced what was the problem, these platforms may lose a lot of money.
Yep. And as we've talked about in so many of these episodes, many women have reported not feeling supported by Twitch when they raise their hand about something, ask for something hateful and pornographic to be removed. They're ignored, and they feel like their only recourse is to leave or get a new job if it's their job. Because again, for some people, this is their livelihood. And this is what they're dealing with. But yeah, as we said in Reddit, we've been focusing on a lot of the negatives, but there are so many positives about Twitch.
Right.
And there is so much community that people have found. And even in that goofy fan fiction, I was like, this is so cool that this exists. Right. And I've heard friends who love it and they talk about that part. So it is a place that can be really beautiful space for finding people and connecting. But we do have all of these issues still that we need to talk about and focus on.
I think there's so much to be said with new platforms. And then when it kind of blends into no longer being just that one little platform, so its origination expands, like with the IRL stuff and that you understand, there's lines being blurred. I am too much of a stickler in that it's no longer this anymore. So why are we calling it this? This is all bleeding over. Again, I get everything from TikTok. So like I get Twitch streams, like clips that come over to TikTok. So I'm very confused about what I'm watching. Mm-hmm. Half the time, but not understanding that it's not TikTok. Same thing with Instagram. I'm having a hard time, y'all. But in general, like you start wondering, you know, the purpose of it. And then when it does expand, because the purpose of it begins to be about money, not about the community. And then you have people who bring it back to that community, and it's nice to see. But there's just this, like, the variation of when it comes to technology is so vast and it's growing so quickly. It doesn't seem like the individual platforms can keep up, and it's always a competition to be the next step up. That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And as we talked about with Bridget in our episode around her new podcast, Internet Hate Machine, I think there's also, like, there are people, marginalized communities on these platforms who love them and want to use them. And when they speak up about them, are ignored. Like, I feel like we're seeing that over and over again.
Right.
Like, hey, here's a problem. And then nothing. Something else we didn't really talk about, we kind of touched on, but is a positive thing about Twitch, is they do have a lot of streams that the company will match often that are charitable, mm-hmm. that are for charity. And that's something that Jamie is going to talk about.
Yes.
In our upcoming interview we did with her. So look out for that. In the meantime, are there any streamers you recommend, listeners? Are you on Twitch? What's your experience been? Please let us know. I would love to know.
Yeah, I thought you were asking me. And I was like, Annie, did we not just go over this?
I haven't been listening to you the entire time, Samantha.
Although, there is someone from YouTube who has a Twitch channel that I do like, which is Girlfriend Reviews. Uh-huh. Which is this couple who play together, and they are on Twitch, and they do some good things. I like their content. I don't know what they look like on Twitch, but I will recommend that.
I know that we talked about that with The Last of Us 2. Lots of drama. Yes. Yes. Well, please let us know all of your recommendations and your experience if you have any. You can email us at stephaniemomstuff@iheartmedia.com. You can find us on Twitter at @MomStuffPodcast or on Instagram @StuffOneNeverToldYou. Thanks as always to our super producer, Christina.
Thank you.
And thanks to you for listening. Stuff I've Never Told You is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
A lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having pink lady apple, berry lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands. Not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly boring since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie, ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox